And eschatology is formally known in Scripture as the doctrine of last things. In other words, I'm teaching you as believers what happens, when you die, what happens during the second coming of Christ, and so on and so forth. It's known as the doctrine of last things. And so we started this teaching last week from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, teaching from a subject, the day of the Lord. And I basically taught you how you can be prepared to meet the Lord when He comes. And I said, inevitably, the main objective of a senior pastor is to ensure that I prepare you to be ready to meet God. Because after you get your house, after you get your car, after you get your $1 million, after you get your marriage restored, after you start walking in prosperity, all that stuff is temporal. And inevitably, one day, you're going to have to meet the Lord, and you're going to have to be ready to meet Him. Amen. And so you have to live a lifestyle that's reflective of that and make sure that you're living according to the Scriptures. So we taught that out of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 12. Tonight, I'm going to teach you from a subject entitled The Sign of the Times. So if you have Matthew 24, we're going to read verse 1 through 14, and then we're going to read 36 through 44. So when you have it, please stand and we'll read the Word of God together. Amen. As a matter of fact, we're just going to start at verse number 5. I'll read orally, you read silently. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Verse number 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm going to stop right there. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to talk tonight about the signs of the times. Now I'm going to deal first of all with verses 14 through 36, and I want us to understand that God would not have us to be ignorant concerning His Son's return to earth. And so the Scriptures tell us that we do not know the exact date or the exact time that Jesus is coming back. All we know is that He is coming back. And so many people over the years have tried to predict when the second coming of Christ would be and have failed. And the reason why is because people have what's called a premonition. And some of these premonitions are not according to the Word of God. And these premonitions, if you believe them, it will have you to think that inevitably Jesus is coming back on a particular day that they say, and He's really not. How many of you guys remember the turn of the century from 1999 to 2000? Give me some more volume here a little bit, LeVar. I like to hear myself right there. Good. Many people had predicted that Jesus was going to come back during Y2K. And you had a lot of people running around. They say, you know, At the stroke of midnight, Jesus is coming back. And remember, it was a big thing. And, you know, all the computers were supposed to go haywire. And they had all these things going on. But inevitably, that didn't happen. Amen. Because the Bible teaches that no man knows the day or the hour. Okay, and so inevitably, as time goes on, you're still going to have a lot of people that are trying to predict the second coming of Christ, but they're going to be wrong. Now, the reason why God fixed it so is because through faith, God wants you to live a lifestyle where you're ready. You follow me? If you're not ready to die, then you're not ready to live. In other words, if you are not ready to die, Lord forbid, you roll out of here tonight, you get in a head-on collision and have an accident, and it's your last day on earth. If you're not ready to die, you're not fit to live. On the flip side of that, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, then you're not living a lifestyle by faith according to the scriptures. And that's what God wanted. That's why he made it clear to us that nobody's going to know when Jesus is coming back, so that you can be ready. The Bible says in the last verse, be ye also ready, for you know not in which the hour the Lord shall come. Now, let me say this. If you do not know where you would end up, Lord forbid you were to die tonight, you go out and have head-on collision and you end up dying, Lord forbid, or if Jesus was to return and you're not sure you would go back with him, then inevitably you're not saved. Because the scriptures teach us specifically that we can know whether or not we're saved. Amen. Am I doing all right? Romans 10 and 9. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe within your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be what? You shall be saved. And so people that walk around, I talk to them all the time. I say, are you a Christian? Yeah. How you know? I don't really know. So I say, so if you were to die tonight, would you go to be with the Lord? Well, I don't really know that, because nobody knows that. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when you confess with your mouth, believe within your heart, not you might be, not it's a short chance, it's a real good percentile, but that you'll be saved. And so we need to live in that type of lifestyle, beloved, that we're living according to this Bible. And we know that if tonight is our last night or whatever, we're going to go meet the Lord. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to give you six signs that Jesus is soon to come. And I'm going to start in verse number 37 and 38. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The first sign is that we're living in the days of Noah. Pastor, what were the days of Noah like? Let's go to Genesis chapter number 6 and let's look at verse 5 through 12. Genesis 6, 5 through 12. I'm going to be moving a little bit fast, so you're going to have to write in your notes to get the tape. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and that it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Y'all remember that song? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Never mind. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And so the days of Noah were just like the days of today. And so God's intent prior to the great flood was to destroy man. And he wanted to destroy the world because man had become so corrupt. You know, actually, we're living in this is the second world, if you will, because the first earth was destroyed by water. And then the second earth, Jesus said, will be destroyed by fire. And then we'll have the New Jerusalem. And we'll talk about that a little more next week. And so what had happened was God said that I'm going to destroy the whole earth with the exception of Noah and his family because they obeyed God and they built an ark. And so what happened was Noah kept preaching. If you read this story as a child, he kept preaching righteousness and repentance while he was building that ark. Y'all remember that story in Bible, in Vacation Bible School and Sunday School? Where Noah kept building the ark and kept telling the people, repent, get right with God because God's going to flood the earth. Amen. And he preached that same message. I think it was about 20 years before God actually did what he said he was going to do. And then he eventually flooded the whole earth. And Noah and his family were the only ones saved because they obeyed God. And so the scriptures teach us back in Matthew 24, they said that the day of the Lord, they said that as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And so, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And so it came upon the world suddenly. Are you listening to me? What had happened was Noah kept preaching, and finally God said, okay, today's the day. Noah, go in the ark, take the animals in two by two, and shut the door behind you. And he went in that ark, and the people started talking about him and laughing. And, man, you crazy, man. You built this big old ark, and you've been talking about it's going to rain for all these years. And God told him to close his mouth. And before you knew it, rain fell. And those boys that was laughing at him, they looked up. They said, yeah, it just must be a little shower. That's all. See? But it kept on raining. And it kept on raining. And before you know it, the whole entire earth was flooded and the whole world was destroyed. It came upon them suddenly because they weren't ready. And so Jesus said the same thing will happen. That's a sign. When the world gets corrupt and it gets wicked, the day of Jesus Christ returning will come upon us suddenly, just as the days of Noah was. And so that's the first sign. Number two is found in verse number 5. Which is the manifestation of false Christ. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And so whether we realize it or not, there have been many that have already come and said that they were the Messiah or Christ. And what happened was they got a lot of people to follow them, thinking that they were the Messiah, and they all ended up losing their lives because they were deceived. Some of the most recent ones that came to mind while I was studying for this teaching tonight was Jim Jones. That's before little y'all's time. But in the early 70s, 1977, Jim Jones was a cult leader in Guyana. And he founded, I think it was called Temple of Peace Christian Church. And he got all these people to believe that he was the Messiah. And everybody followed Jim Jones, and he ended up poisoning 161 people, and all of them died because they were deceived, thinking he was Christ or the Messiah. So that's a sign. More recently in our days, I know a lot of y'all are younger, David Koresh. Y'all remember David Koresh? The Branch Davidians. 1993 to 1996, how he had started this cult, and he had got all these people in this particular ranch, and the federal government came in there and ended up having to burn down the whole ranch, and all them people died in there. That was a sign. That was a false Christ. And then the last one is Heaven's Gate. I don't know how many of y'all remember Heaven's Gate. The guy's name was Applewhite. Happened in California. Happened, when did that happen? 97, March of 97. And these guys had all shut up in this ranch style house, and these guys had got them to believe in that if they followed them, that they would meet the rest of the people that have been dead on a comet. Remember, they were wearing those Cortez Nikes back in the day. Remember that? And that's Heaven's Gate. And so that's another sign. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And so we see it all the time. Nowadays, we have something called the New Age movement. New Age movement deals with Buddhism. It deals with, us being gods and us being reincarnated. And they have movements out there today where people are teaching this type of stuff. It's all in our schools. We don't realize it. A lot of things they teach our children right in middle school and junior high school is about creationism, and they teach them about that there's not really a God, that we're all a subject matter and we're all like gods. And it's deceit. Amen. But it's a sign of the times. Many shall come in my name saying I am the Christ and shall deceive many. Number three, verse number 6 and 7, wars and rumors of wars and nations against nation. Let's look at the Bible. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And so we've had a lot of wars over the past couple of years, past 10 to 15 to 30 years. We had the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Gulf War, and now the war with Iraq. And even this nation has been at war for quite some time now. And it's all a sign that Jesus is soon to return. Nations against one another. North Korea, Israel and Palestine, U.S. and the Iraq. That's nation against nation. And Jesus prophesied right here many years ago in the scriptures that these things would happen, and we're seeing them develop right now. And so most people are going on with life as usual with no knowledge of what the Bible has written several hundred years ago, but it gives us the most accurate depiction of the sign of the times. And so you don't have to go in your supermarket and pick up, you know, Nostradamus and all those magazines they see by the checkout counter, the end is near, all that. This book right here is more accurate than any of those. And it gives us signs. The Bible teaches us about pestilences, earthquakes, and diverse places. Pestilences are diseases. And you know, we have the AIDS, HIV virus. We got a lot of diseases out there that the world does not have a cure for. Earthquakes in diverse places. I read in the news today that Japan had an earthquake just today. 7 point something on the Richter scale. Y'all watch the news. Y'all read the USA Today and watch MSNBC. All these things are on here, and it's the sign of the times. Earthquakes in diverse places mean different places, scattered places. California just had a big one a couple of years ago. Japan had one. All these different places, they're signs of the times. Number four is the unacceptance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse number 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, this nation that we live in, we're a blessed nation and a blessed people because we have what's known as freedom of religion. And so we have the right in America to choose which religion we're going to follow, or if we're going to follow a religion at all. But in other countries, unlike us, they don't have that choice. They don't have that privilege. They have to fall and practice whatever religion that the nation practices. And so what happens is that God has to raise up people called missionaries. Now, missionaries are, you know, those little white ladies or black ladies you see sitting on the front row with the little white hats. Those are fakers. You know, those ain't real missionaries. I'm talking about people that God raises up and anoints to go into other countries strictly to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into countries where Christianity is not the accepted religion. And so he anoints missionaries, he anoints evangelists, he anoints people to go into these areas and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then they become hated and they become persecuted because Christianity is not the accepted religion. And so you go to a place like North Korea, you go to a place like China, you can wave your Bible if you want to. Say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Just like we was in here worshiping, police ain't driving by or nothing like that. They have underground churches. They got places where they have to worship in secret because it is against the laws of that nation to have a God other than the God that they worship. And so that's what the scripture says. And I'm telling y'all, church, these people are being persecuted. I mean, they're being beheaded for the cause of Christ. They're getting their hands cut off. They're being killed and liberated and put in front of firing squads because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and spreading the gospel. And we get so, you know, arrogant sometimes and get so scared to talk about Jesus on our job. Ain't nobody putting a gun to your head on your job. Ain't nobody, you know, taking you to jail if you tell somebody about Jesus at the supermarket.
Right.
You see what how our mentality is? We scared to talk about a Jesus that we got freedom and rights to, and there are people in other countries that are getting killed every day because they're hated for the name of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the gospel. Now, number five is very important in verse number 11. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Number five is the rise of false prophets. I want to show you something here. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 4. Verse 1 through 3. I'll give you a minute to get there. 1 John's towards the back of the Old Testament, right for Revelation. First John chapter number 4, verse 1 through 3. It say, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." And so Jesus warned us that there would be many false prophets that are going out into the world. And the way that we can detect them is if they say that Jesus Christ have not come in the flesh, that's a false prophet. And so I'm going to give you three things right here. How can you identify a false prophet? Number one, and I'm not talking about, because there are prophets in the church, the fivefold ministry. I'm not getting into that. I'm talking about false prophets that are defaming the name of Christ. All right. A false prophet is anyone that rejects the teachings of the scriptures and the doctrine of salvation. In other words, a false prophet will tell you that you can be saved just as you are. You know, you don't have to follow these scriptures. You don't have to do all that. That's a false prophet.
Amen.
Number two is anyone who does not consider Jesus Christ the Son of God and direct salvation through him alone. And so if they say, you know, Jesus was a great prophet, but they don't consider him the Son of God and consider him, consider that through Jesus Christ is the only way back to God, that's a false prophet. I'm trying to help you identify some things because you see these people all the time. And number three is anyone who takes a platform and leads people in the direction that I just mentioned. Now, I'm going to give you something because I'm not scared. Y'all hear me?
Amen.
The Nation of Islam.
Amen.
Minister Louis Farrakhan is a false prophet.
Amen.
Because they teach all of the Muslims that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God and through him is salvation. Now they say that he was a good prophet and he was a good man, but they don't teach you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and through him is salvation. And so you'll hear people all over the network, all on television. Y'all remember the Million Man March a couple years ago where they supposed to bought the church and the Nation of Islam and all them together? And then you had Minister Louis Farrakhan on there talking about things, but he wasn't talking about what lined up in the Bible. And so you have to be careful on how you connect yourself to people and certain things that call themselves God that don't line up with this.
Amen.
Because what will happen, you'll end up being influenced by a false prophet and you'll end up believing the same thing. I talk to Muslims all the time in the jail, and I say, well, how do you determine who goes to heaven and hell? And they say, well, you know, you do good works, and hopefully, you'll get let in. See, you don't want to have a hopefully. You know, hopefully you do good and God will lead you into heaven. You need assurance.
That's right. Amen.
Scriptures give you assurance. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you shall be saved. There's no gray area about that. Live according to the word, you'll spend eternity with Jesus Christ. But a lot of these false prophets, they don't have that type of religion. Most of theirs is based on works. You do a lot of good works, you do a lot of good things, then you make it into heaven. So the rise of false prophets. And finally, number 6 is found in verse number 14. Bible says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. The final sign, ladies and gentlemen, is when the gospel has been preached throughout all of the world. And inevitably, all of these signs that I talked about have already manifested. And so inevitably, Jesus could come any day now. He could come tomorrow, he can come next Friday, he can come a week from Thursday. He can come any day. Now, I want you to listen to this. According to the scriptures, Jesus has fixed it so that everyone will get a chance to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and receive an opportunity to get saved. And so God loves the world so much that God himself will ensure that everyone gets a chance to hear the gospel. There's well over 6 billion people on this earth right now. And every one of them will get the opportunity to hear the gospel before they die or Jesus comes back. Now, a lot of people may not have recognized their opportunity to hear the gospel. Because again, you've talked to people and you've told them about getting saved, and Lord forbid they didn't pay attention to you and they went out and bam, their life was over. Because everybody don't get 5 and 6 chances to hear the gospel. That's why the Bible says now is the day of your salvation.
Amen.
If you hear God's voice, you better not harden your heart.
That's right.
Because you don't know when your last time is. And so the gospel is attempting to be preached in every corner of the globe by way of missionary, evangelists, and satellite television. So there are satellites in the sky. Those of y'all, how many of y'all got DirecTV or Dish Network? Some of y'all just got basic cable. Some of y'all just got regular TV. Praise the Lord. Well, satellites, they have the ability to beam the gospel message to literally every country by way of satellite. And so these companies like TBN and Daystar, they have these big satellites and they beam the gospel message into countries that would not normally get a chance to hear it. And then God also, like I said earlier, anoints and sends evangelists and missionaries literally over every piece and every corner of the globe. And the only reason that Jesus has not come back yet is because everybody have not heard the gospel. Once everyone hears the gospel and they've been given an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it won't be long before Jesus Christ returns.
Right.
It could be that same day. It could be that same instant that last person hears, and Jesus could crack that sky and come back and take us off this earth. And so in closing, I want to make sure, church, I want to make sure that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're listening here to me tonight in this congregation or by audio, and you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're not sure. You need to be saved. One thing about this ministry is we preach salvation straight up and down. Not about you just joining the church and putting your name on the roll and working and doing all these different types of things. You got to have a relationship with God.
Amen.
And that's the bottom line. So if you're in here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to accept Him. Life is too precious to live without Jesus.
Amen.
He's soon to come. Will you be ready? Now, next week, I'm going to teach you guys on the rapture of the church and the judgment of the saints. In other words, what happens when Jesus comes back? It's straight right here in the Bible. Basic teaching. Teach you what happened once we're raptured out of the church, where we're going to go, what we're going to be doing. And I'm going to teach you some different things and point out in the scriptures. But I'm just giving you an overview right now of the sign of the times that you need to be ready to meet God. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, let's stand on our feet.